All right. Well, I do apologize that we don't have our text for our sermon today in the phone book. My printer done ran out of ink on me. I'm starting to print them, and I'm looking over. It's like they're kind of on the blank side. That ain't good. So we're here in the book of Exodus, and chapter number 18, and verse number 1. And the Bible tells us this. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife and Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mouth of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. Back in verse number 1, we are introduced to this man named Jethro. And when I looked up his name, I found that his name means abundance. So the Lord being our helper this morning, we want to bring our sermon on this thought, Jethro, a man of abundance. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for being so good to us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this time here. Help me, Lord, please, to bring out exactly what it is you'd have me to bring out for your people this morning. And nothing more, but certainly nothing less either. We thank you, Father, for delivering us and allowing us to be able to get here in time today. Even if we started a couple minutes late, it could have been a whole lot worse. And we're thankful, Father, for that. We do pray, Lord, for everyone here that they'd be able to get something out of today's sermon. Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to you and follow after your holy will. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So, abundance. How in the world does this really fit in here? I mean, all we've got, it seems, from our text is Jethro bringing Moses his family. And one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that, number one, Moses hasn't seen his family for at least a year. Now, some commentators think that it was about 16 months. And to be honest, I've read some that said it took a couple of years before Moses finally was able to lead the people out of Egypt. I don't know how long it took. I wasn't there. But what I do know this is that when I go for a while without getting to see my family, I miss them. And even if sometimes we fight like cats and dogs, right? I miss them. And the longer I got to go without seeing them, the more I miss them. My folks actually came up a couple weeks ago. I hadn't got to see them in the flesh in 3 or 4 years now. But they came up for my ordination, and it was good to get to see them again. And I was glad to see them. But Jethro, when he brings Moses' family, his abundance here is he is helping Moses to acknowledge where God has brought him from. Now, we look at their names, and in Zipporah, her name means little bird. But it's the two sons that Moses got the name. And he named the first one Gershom. And he says, for I have been an alien in a strange land. Moses had recognized that, yeah, he's an alien there, you know, in the camp there in Midian. But really, as an Israelite, when he was down there in Egypt, he was an alien. He did not belong there. He was not Egyptian. He was Israeli. And us, as we are saved, born again Christians, the Bible talks about how we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of heaven here on earth. We, too, are aliens. But one day, God is going to deliver us from this land that we are in, and we're going to get to go home. And I think of the very first time that He brought deliverance into my life, when He saved my soul from eternity in hell. Brought me into His family. Made me a citizen of His world. And I'm so thankful for that. And we need to acknowledge that God has done that in our lives. That He has saved us. Because without that, we'd be on our way to hell, and it's a whole lot worse than the Bible tells us.
Yes.
How can you say that, preacher? Simply this.
I was there.
Because this, the Bible is trying to put into human words the eternal, the immortal, the things of God, the things that we simply cannot comprehend, eternity, infinity, into finite language, into our limited being, our limited ability to understand.
1928.
We should be grateful that we've got this deliverance. We should also acknowledge, as Moses did when he named his second son Eliezer, that God has been his help, that God had delivered him from the sword of Pharaoh. And we've all got a past, don't we, Miss Betty? We all got a past. Some of it is a little nicer, shall we say, than other parts. And some of the parts of our past are just downright filthy. And why do I say that God has delivered us from sword and such? Because the Bible says there in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Not this physical body dying, but eternity, eternally dying. He has delivered us from being His own enemy. The Bible says that when we are lost, that we are at enmity or at war with God Almighty. We've changed sides. He has brought us in, not as double agents, but as soldiers for Him. Soldiers for the cross of Christ. So we've got a real enemy. But you know what I have found time and time again? When I stick with the commander of the armies of heaven and follow after what he says to do, no matter how much the enemies are trying to rain down upon me, I find he delivers me from them. I find that he'll take and bring me through the depression. He'll bring me through the sorrows. He'll bring me through the defeats. He'll bring me through the trials. He'll bring me through the tribulation. He'll bring me through all the darkness of the valley up into the bright light there on top of the mountain. He's done it before. Praise God, He'll do it again. I was listening to a song on the way off the route back to the depot. It's called Say Amen. I wish I had the words right now. I would gladly sing it for you. But all it is talking about, hey, remember how God has delivered you. He'll do it again. So go ahead and say Amen to that. The next thing we see Jethro abounding in is he abounded in an attitude of praise. Verse number 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in a thing wherein that they dealt proudly, he was above them. Now you may sit there and say, what is the big deal about that? Well, here's the thing. You got to remember something about Jethro. He's the priest of Midian. Not the priest of Israel. He's the priest of Midian. Now who is Midian? Well, Midian was one of the children from Abraham's second wife, Keturah. And as such, like all the rest of those other descendants from Abraham, Ishmael on down, they did not like Isaac, and they did not like the Israelites that came from Isaac, came from his son Jacob. They don't like them. They are at complete odds, but yet here we find, Miss Gwen, that there's one. There's one who said, God is God, and I'm going to go with him. And I'm going to become his priest. And I'm going to sing his praises. And I'm going to let the world know about him. And I've got an attitude of praise. And I want to be thankful for what the Lord God has done for me. I want to be thankful for what he's going to do for me. In fact, I even want to praise his holy name for what he could have done for me if I'd have just been in his will. And this man here, who you would think, who all by all reason had no business sitting here worshiping God, he's coming along and he's encouraging Moses. He's coming along and he's saying, praise God, we got something going on here. Follow the Lord. Because he is greater. He is bigger than all the other guys. All the other guys, they got their pride on. God looks down at us and says, you still ain't nothing. Remember what is it Satan said? That he will ascend to the throne of heaven and he will be like the Most High. I like that word, like. It means almost, but not quite. It don't matter how much this world thinks it's big and bad, it ain't gonna outdo God. Because he's bigger and gooder. And if that ain't a word, I just made it up. It's gooder. But he had an attitude of praise. An attitude of praise that each one of us should emulate in our own lives. Say, preacher, I ain't got much to be thankful for. You don't know the life I've lived. Well, let me put it to you this way. Are you still breathing? Yeah. I might be on a machine. I might be having to take all sorts of meds to help me breathe. Maybe I even got a set of somebody else's lungs just for me to be able to breathe. God says, you still got breath? Praise Him. He deserves that praise. He is worthy of that praise. We need to have an attitude of praise. He's brought us this far. He ain't gonna stop. Thank the Lord for that. And when we get an attitude of praise, it's like Jethro. We're going to find that attitude of praise. That acknowledgement of God and where He's brought us through. Brought into action when we make an application of wisdom. Verse number 17. And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. You see, what had happened was that the next day they all got up. And Moses went and he sat down. And all the people started lining up. And they're bringing their court cases to Moses. They're coming and they're asking Moses for his advice. They're coming and asking Moses for his wisdom. They're coming and asking Moses to separate, to make a difference and whatnot. And they're wearing Moses down mentally. Jethro takes one look at this thing and says, son, you need to start using some wisdom. You're going to burn out. It's one thing to burn out for God. It's a completely other thing to burn out because you're doing it wrong. And Moses, you were doing it wrong. We need to get together here and do something. So he starts telling them, this is what you should do. You should take it and divide it up and get you some people who can be over thousands and some over hundreds and some over fifties and some over tens. And instead of work its way right up the chain. If the guys that are doing the 10, they can't figure out how to solve it, send the matter to the guys with the 50s, and then the guys with the 100s, the guys with the 1,000s, and then finally it comes to you. That way you are not dealing with all this mess. But on top of it, he didn't say, do this because I said so. He said in verse number 23, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. Now, yeah, he's human. He got it backward a little bit. He should have said, if God command you so, then do it. He's human. Praise God for the Bible. You know what? Because it records the sins. It records the incidences. It records the things where people went and did wrong. It records when people put their foot in their mouth. Simon Peter. It's a book that contains man's fallacy. And therefore, we can relate to it. We can understand that God can do something for us. That God can be a help to us. He's not sitting way up there waiting on us to be perfect so that He can do something for us. He says, come unto me, and I'm going to help you. Jethro says, you ask God, God tells you to do it, do it. And it helped Moses out considerably. I thought about over there in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 when Elijah was on the run from Jezebel. And the Bible tells us how he got down underneath that juniper tree and he fell asleep. Angel came, woke him up, hey, rise and eat because the journey is too great for you. Why did the angel say because the journey is too great for you? Because none of us were ever meant to go it alone. Not a single one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're one of those presidents up there on the television screen right now who is eulogizing John McCain. Guess what? They are surrounded by advisors. John McCain had advisors. We all need advisors. We all need people who we can come alongside, who we can ask for prayer and know that they're going to be praying with us, who we can come alongside. Hey, I need your opinion. Can you help me out in this matter? I need some help moving. Hey, you got a pickup truck. Can you help me do this? We cannot do it alone. apply at least a little bit of wisdom and see what God can do for you. See how God can help you. We'll be amazed when we try doing things like that. And you know what? They got the victory here. They found out that here comes another trial. Here comes another tribulation. And God saw them first. And once again, they were able to praise God. They saw something coming down the road, and they were able to turn to God, and they were able to get some help. But every time they turned away, they got into trouble. Church, every time we run to God, we get help. Every time we turn to God, we get help. Every time we run away from God, we get in trouble. Either what we're running to embraces us, and we get hurt that way, or we just get spanked for disobeying. Use a little wisdom. See what God's got for you. Get you some abundance in your own life. Greater things than these you'll see. And the Bible tells us over there, I want to say it's in the book of James. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Over in, James chapter 1 verse 5. You know what, let's back up. Chapter 1 verse number 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally or bountifully, and upbraideth not." That word upbraideth means to find fault. He's not going to find fault in it if you go and ask him for wisdom. Because he knows you want to use it for the right thing. And it shall be given him. Church, can we abound? There's three areas that we can, no matter where we are in this life. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I want to thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center to get to come to these fine folks home and bring us a real quick sermon. Pray, Lord, is help and a source of encouragement. And I want to thank you, Lord, for each one of them, that they certainly have been an encouragement to me. And I pray, Father, for your blessings upon them. Pray, Lord, for each and every one here at the home, for both the residents and the workers, for their health and well-being, but most of all, for their salvation. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So our next song will be our closing song for today.